that kind of maybe be all over the place, but just some things are going to come to my mind as I speak. But the first half will kind of be more on how can you invite non-believers to class, and then the second half will be Tyson. Once visitors come, how can you retain those visitors? So one of the first questions I have is, why should we even outreach for some people's opinions there? Why should we even do this?
Part of the family of God.
Okay. Part of God.
Part of our calling.
Part of our calling. Jesus commands us, yes.
I was going to say, we have a great gift, and it's selfish to not share.
Cool. Why do we fear outreaching? What are some things that come to mind there?
Rejection.
You said what?
Yeah, it can be like embarrassing outreaching, mm-hmm. because you're just the church kids.
For sure.
We don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Some other things I jotted down was we're kind of content with our community. We're safe. Some people think that that's just the pastor's job. That's not my job. Like, just certain people are supposed to do that. I'm not called to. So it's encouraging for me just to see how many people are here. I think all people can outreach. It's just a willingness to do so. So just the fact that you're even attending, have a heart to do this, you know, I think that's the first step. So I'm just gonna go through and just jot some things or say some things. What are some ways to outreach? I would say first thing is to just pray first. Pray for God to put people in your life. You know, God's going to place people if you start praying daily for that. You know, the good thing about Life Bible Study class, if you look at a lot of the churches in Houston, they don't have the activities we have. I mean, there are so many different activities. I know probably majority of people may be gather leaders. By the way, how many people are serving a gather role here? Okay. Everyone else, it's not. So, I mean, there's different ways, whether it's gather, whether it's give, whether it's grow. I mean, there are different activities that you can invite. So a lot of people think, oh, just a gather event, that's the only time I should really outreach. You know, we have a Super Bowl party. Well, there's give events. People have a heart for missions. We have Habitat for Humanity. There's people, probably coworkers, that will love to hear, love an opportunity to serve. And so that's a great way to invite them. Grow events, you know, there's guys' events, women's events. Sometimes we take that for granted, just a guy's breakfast. A lot of people don't get to experience that, women's breakfast. So there's not only just gather events, there's all types of events. And there's not many churches that do that. I mean, I have friends in other churches, and they said the one thing they wish they had more of was community. And I think sometimes we take that for granted, just the opportunity we have. I think sometimes it's easy to lose purpose. Why are we doing these events? Why are we having the Super Bowl party? Is it just for us? It is for us. It's great to fellowship, but also that's a great opportunity to say, okay, who can I invite, you know, from outside? So, and then remember that it isn't our words that save; it's the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not. We're just called to. We're not called for results. We're just called to obey. So, all that pressure, you know, sometimes you feel like I got to do this, and I feel this all the time. It's not my job, you know. Holy Spirit's gonna take care of that. So, and then the other thing is don't rush with people. Don't make it like a numbers game. Like, oh, I'm gonna try to talk to four people a day. Just share the gospel. I mean, build those relationships. You know, these events that we have are great ways to start inviting people, build that relationship. So, something I always try to do is just talk to that person and see what they're interested in. And I feel. There's several events I have in mind on our calendar in our Life Bible Study class that I can direct and point. So if someone says, I like sports, great. We have a volleyball league. We have a soccer league. I have nowhere to go for the Super Bowl or just anything. You know, you have like three or four different ways or, you know, that someone may be interested in. So always know kind of calendar or think of ways that you can invite that person. I also wanted to say that inviting people is a way to build relationships and share the gospel. So it's just creating an opportunity to maybe down the road to share the gospel. Maybe it's not a one time you meet them and you share the gospel, but creating that relationship allows you to build that trust and eventually, you know, share the gospel with them. initiation is key. I mean, if you think of all the friendships you have, probably someone initiated. So you can't wait for that person to just be like, well, I hope this person comes to me and just asks me, hey, where do you go to church? Or, you know, you have to initiate that. Is it going to be scary? Yeah, it probably will be scary. But you're the one. If you want that relationship or just the chance to outreach that person, you got to be the one. I mean, if you just recall, maybe, I'm sure all of you are connected to a live Bible study class, someone probably initiated that to say, welcome you in. And since they welcome you in, you know, we should not take that for granted and say, who else can we invite and initiate that interaction? You know, our church is obviously great that we have so many events, but it's easy to get in a church bubble. You can literally fill your calendar, at least the class I go to, almost every single day. So it's easy to be like, Monday I have this, Tuesday I have this, Wednesday I have this. And it's easy to be in a safe zone. Like, this is where I'm at. Just forget, you know, about the people that are lost and need Jesus. And I just, you know, hopefully when you leave, you just keep that in mind where it's just think of maybe a day, maybe a day off or 2 days off, but joining a group, joining a running group, joining, you know, there's so many different groups you can join, but with the intention of trying to build relationships with non-believers. So, you know, it's something where I think you should look at your schedule a couple months, you know, do an analysis and say, am I surrounding myself with non-believers? Am I going to things or creating an opportunity for me to create relationships? So, again, try not to maybe get a church bubble. Some of the ways, you know, that I talked about earlier is there's mini groups, there's running, there's CrossFit. I mean, it's something you're passionate. I mean, God probably has something you're passionate about. There's many, many groups. I was going to share this later on, but there's a group called, I don't know if y'all heard this or not, but it's called meetup.com. I don't know if y'all have ever, how many people have heard of meetup.com? Okay, quite a bit. They have, like, all these different groups, could be, I don't know, just anything you're just passionate about. They have it. If they don't have it, maybe you should create one. This is a great opportunity, I think, this website to if you're like, well, I don't know any groups, this is a great place to start, actually. And it's any, I know it's kind of weird, meetup.com, but I'm serious. It's a great tool. I felt like it's a great tool to reach out to other people. And so they have almost any group you're looking for, and it's a way just to put yourself out there and build relations and bring a friend. Why do this by yourself? You know, bring someone with you. Some of the groups. Yeah. So,
Travel, movies.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Anyone
kayak,
part of it? Yeah. Anything volleyball. You want, kayaking, volleyball. Yes.
anything. There's a group.
There's some weird, like, yeah. I saw a group reenacting some Star Wars scenes at Memorial State Hall one time, and they used that app.
I'm in that group. No.
Don't lie.
Yeah, there's tons of groups, and so thanks for sharing that. Let's see. Another thing is our Life Bible Study created business cards, and these business cards, you know, sometimes you may go to the gym, you may just meet someone like literally 5 minutes, and they're like a waitress, anyone, just for short conversation. I wish I could have maybe invited that person to a live Bible study class. Well, this is a great way, and I'm just going to, you can pass this around. One of them is a running group, has all the information in the back, Facebook group, map, where we meet, when we meet, and then you have the Bible study class as well. Also says Facebook, Twitter, anything, where you have the address, and if you just want to pass those two around, but I would maybe think about considering getting your Life Bible Study class to have a business card. I think it's a great tool just to leave that maybe in their court if they're interested. Hey, this is where you can find me. You can put your email address, but it leaves instead of maybe them feeling pressure like, oh man, this person just put me on the spot. Like, do you go to church anywhere? Why not? You know, it's just like, hey, here's a business card if you're interested. This is the Life Bible Study class I go to. They can see all the events, see pictures. You know, some people may look at Facebook or just some of Twitter, like, man, it's a lot, you know, we're so social media. Why not use that actually to reach people? Not the Bible study class I go to. I got this from another Bible study class, but there were literally people that showed up. Grace Street was actually a Bible study class. He was in this one. There were literally people that showed up to this class because on Facebook they saw pictures and they said, what is this? I want to be a part of this. What's this group? And they showed up the next day all because of, because they were interested. They just want to be a part of the community. And so just think about, you know, it's something to maybe consider, think about your class, maybe being out there and you know, using business card. Let's see. So the reason I'm passionate, I'm just going to go real briefly about this, but I actually, growing up, went to grew up here in Houston, went to college at Vanderbilt. Any Vanderbilt people here? Of course not. No one. I was about to be your best friend if you did go to Vanderbilt, but came back here and I never went to church, and so I was just lonely. I wanted to be a part of just a community. I just wanted friends, and so there was a group of people playing volleyball. And I was just driving by, and I was like, man, how do all these people know each other? So I pulled aside, got out, and I was like, hey, how do y'all know each other? They said, oh, we go to a Bible study class Thursday night. You should join. I was like, no. Just talked to the guy. His name was John, and he just, you know, he instead of, like, being like, all right, or cutting the conversation off, we had, a 30-minute conversation where I felt like, hey, I can relate to this person. Maybe I will try it out. And so I ended up trying it out, and sure, it took 6 months. I kept going, persistent. It took 6 months before I finally gave my life to Christ. But it works. I feel like there's so many people out there just similar that are just waiting for an invitation. They just want to be a part. And sure, they might not. It's so intimidating to go by yourself, too. I think they're waiting for a friend just to say, hey, come with me. Come with me to church, and especially January. I mean, our visitors go up, and think about in January, tons of people's resolutions are, I want to start going to church. Take advantage of that person's resolution and invite them. They're probably just waiting for someone to invite them. Another story I wanted to share was just getting over your fears. I had a job where I was in sales, and it was basically door-to-door selling, like, paper products. It was like Thunder Biff. Like, I was part of office, and so I would go door to door and sell, like, paper products. Hey, is your, you know, fax machine not working? You know, and all I got was no. get out. And so it was. I was like down. I was. Kind of frustrated, and I only worked a week. But I made a sale, and then I stopped. But I was like, I mean, talk about just rejection every single time. Like, nope, we don't need you, you know, like, we're good. And I just thought about it, and I was like, man, if I could go up to people and, like, kind of in a way sell something or share something that I don't even know, I don't even trust this product, but I'm, like, going to people that I don't even know, then why can't I share? Why can't I get over that fear of rejection of sharing something I am passionate about? And if someone rejects, well, you know, they're not rejecting me. And so that's just a testimony as far as getting over your fears, part of first step, and, like, you are going to get rejected. And remember, I think when you feel down about that, and there's times I felt down, it's probably because it's selfish desires. It's probably because you want the praise, and there's times where I felt rejected, and I was like, man, I just felt down. And there's times, I think when that does happen, it's kind of maybe check your heart. What's the reason why? This is just an opportunity just to share. So another thing I jotted down was I tend to I'd rather have someone tell me that I'm bothering too much than someone say, man, I wish someone would have reached out to me more. So there's going to be people I walk through the doors and you might be like, man, am I bothering? And you might, but I would rather have that happen than someone say, gosh, I wish someone really would have reached out to me at least one more time or a second time because I need that. You know, you don't know who's walking through those doors, and don't assume everyone is a Christian that walks through those doors. I think that's an easy assumption for us to make that, oh, they're walking through, they're going to church, they must be a Christian. You don't know if that's their first time. I mean, you know, when I first went to church, I wasn't coming for the gospel. I was coming for friends. Because people welcomed me, I kept coming back. And I was like, man, I want to keep coming back, keep coming back. So, again, just try to welcome them, but also realize you don't know where they are. And you know, this might be their one chance. They might just be like, I'm giving this one chance, and that's it. During the service, if you're probably not welcoming a visitor to your class, I would try to maybe strategically sit somewhere where you think visitors may be, someone by themselves. I've met several people that way that are just sitting by themselves, and it was maybe their first or second time, and you know, the time where they say, where somebody says, hey, greet someone around you, what a perfect time if you're sitting next to someone to be like, hey, are you new? You know, and have that 2 or 3 minute conversation and get their contact information. But how are you going to reach people if you're not maybe placing yourself in that position? So maybe just think about whether it's you or whether it's a friend. Maybe just say, hey, let's go sit up in the top balcony or something. Let's go sit somewhere we normally don't sit. And you'll be amazed how many people are walking by themselves to the service. Let's see. And I also want to share, it takes discipline to share faith. It's not going to be easy. You know, it takes discipline. Know your story. You know, like we said earlier, what's one of the fears of why people don't share? And one way to start is share your testimony. People want to hear, hey, what's God done in your life? Like, I want to hear, what's your story? If you don't know it, it's very tough to maybe reach people. So I would just say, hey, what's my testimony? Let me be ready to share that story if someone asks me. And that's mainly it. The other thing I want to say was those that enjoy sports. Another website is I keep choosing the wrong pen.
Go away.
It's called sportsmonkey.com. So sportsmonkey.com is a website where people go on and they say they want to. Some people don't have a team or they're new to Houston and they're like, I just want to join a volleyball team. I want to join a soccer team. I've found people through that website that are just wanting to join a league, and it's an easy way just to invite them. So just some, there's tons of websites out there that are strategic where people are just looking to join a group, and so that's another. There's different leagues. Again, I know I'm headed more on a sports because that's where my passion is, but there's just other things. I mean, there's we're all passionate about something. It's just thinking outside the box. Okay, what tool can I use to maybe reach people? And again, I think one of the first steps is that you're excited. So that's awesome that you're here, because that's one of the first things. Is like, you can't force something if someone's not excited to do to reach people. So that's all I got. Now it's nice.
You know, I wanted to say about Ramus, he didn't really brag on himself, but this is something that Ramus really lives out. It's the reason he's here speaking to y'all tonight. He has just perfected the art of living his life for other people and inviting them and including the church. I think he built the whole life Bible study class out of people from Memorial Park. But if you want to pick his brain a little bit more, I would really encourage that. Before I get started, I wanted to ask or get a little bit better feel for the room. And so Ramus asked if y'all were gather leaders, but other positions in general, are there directors in the room at all?
I can't see that hand.
Is everyone on some type of leadership role or okay, so some of the things that I'm going to share are more from when you are kind of behind the scenes in a Life Bible Study class, things you can do to make sure that your visitor or guest experience is a good one, and it brings them back for more, gets them coming back for more. And the other thing I wanted to acknowledge is that Ramus and I are in a similar life stage, and so some of the examples that he gave, and maybe one or two that I give, are fitting for our life stage, but the ideas and the heart behind all of them are transferable to other other segments of our ministry, not all just Summit Young Singles. But when we say, you know, softball, ultimate frisbee, or something, if you have children, I think a lot of your social activities will revolve around your kids and what they're doing. And so recognizing that those opportunities with them and the parents of the other kids is a great opportunity. And then if you're past that stage of life and you do get to start exploring more of your own hobbies again, it may not be sports, but there are just lots of other things where you can do that for the Lord and start just incorporating an evangelical component to those things. And so forgive us if we didn't cover all of those bases, but just know that they're out there. And so... So you can start now with the sheet. I think I'll start picking up my notes from that now, so it should be fairly easy to follow along. But like I said, a lot of this is coming from the standpoint of those of us that have the opportunity to be a part of what the experience is on Sunday morning when people come into your Life Bible Study class. And then the other mindset I want you to have is if you're not one of those leaders, if you're not the one at the front of the room, it is just as important, if not more important, for you to understand a bunch of these principles. And I, as a director, lose so much power with a guest or a visitor that you, as someone sitting in the class, retains, because they see me as something other, that they see my interaction a lot of times as an obligation to them, and it feels much more sincere when a person at the table with them starts a conversation with them, or the person beside them in the pew, or whatever it is, and not when Pastor Greg, you know, shakes their hand as they're walking out the door. And so just really recognizing that power that you have as a peer of theirs to invite and include them. And so from the Life Bible Study aspect, I want to look at some of the things that we do. The first is just on Sunday morning when they do come in your door. And so at first, we're a blessed community where lots of people do walk into our doors without somebody reaching out to them. I know my experience in Summit has been lots of people have found us on a website, and they've moved here for work, and they maybe are lonely and don't have friends, but for some, either because they have a foundation in the faith or because they're coming back to a root in the faith, they've sought out the church to help them find community. And then also there are people in our classes like Ramus that do a lot of inviting and including. And so once we've got them in the door, once we have them there, what are things that we can do to help retain them and make sure that experience for them is one where they feel welcomed and where they feel that our community has purpose and that there are intentions behind the things that we do, and it's something sort of bigger than us that they want to be a part of. And so some of the easy... I just gave some list of tools that we use that I don't want you to underestimate. I think it's easy sometimes to take them for granted. In our Life Bible Study, we have a calendar on the table, and there's one person for every chair. And the majority of the people that come into that room on Sunday morning are members of our class that know what's on that calendar, and they don't need to say that information. But we choose to print that paper and have it sitting there for the handful of guests that need that piece of paper. And so always with the mindset that it's for the guests that you're doing most of these things. And so on our calendar, we make sure we're showing upcoming events. We have contact information for them, so if they have more questions, if they are the type of person that maybe takes a little bit more initiative and will reach out, we want to give them an email, maybe a phone number, a way that they can communicate with us. And then also on our calendar, we have our vision and our purpose statement. And so just reiterating, written down, you know, in text, what our group is about, why we're meeting on Sunday morning, and then I have a little bit further down, communicate your vision and purpose. It's something that we do verbally, you know, at least twice a month. We're meeting four times a month on Sunday morning, so at least twice a month we want to remind them kind of who we are and what we're about. And as a church, obviously there are things that we know that we're about. And then if you've refined your vision a little bit as a Life Bible Study class, expressing that as well. And then I have on there the whiteboard, and so every Sunday morning we have a whiteboard up there, and it repeats sometimes the things that are on the calendar, it repeats sometimes things that are in the email, but we want to have it written somewhere big where they know that this is important. These are upcoming things, these are ways that you can get plugged in with those and connect with those. And then one of the things that we do that I think is useful, if maybe you're not doing it now, is we write all of our announcements under the title of Give, Gather, Grow. And so we see that all the time from the church, from the top down in administration. Our ministries are broken into Give, Gather, Grow, and those are just the different ways that we interact with one another in the Lord, and we want them to have a visual for what the heart is behind those activities. And so a lot of times we use words in church that a visitor may not understand, and so when I'm saying our Thursday night Bible study is called midweek, sometimes it's called koinonia, other people may just call it Bible study, and so I want them to know that it's something that we do, that it's a little bit of gather, it's a little bit of grow, it's a discipleship tool for you, if you want it to be that. And then for you, as a member of the class, it's also a great tool for you to invite and include, because there's social components to those in-home Bible studies as well, and it's maybe slightly less intimidating to walk into someone's home than it is to walk into a church. And so just visual, or giving a visual for that Give, Gather, Grow, I think, is useful. And then the last thing on there is be repetitive. And just, again, when you're thinking about your members and how often they hear you say the same things, I know that it can be tiring for them occasionally, or they may think I sound like a broken record, but I'm not saying those things on Sunday morning for someone that's in there every Sunday. I'm saying them so that someone that's there for the first or second time can hear it for the first or second time. And so being patient and supportive of your leadership in that, and then practicing those things yourselves, and just letting them know again what you're about as a community, or what events are coming up, and what the purposes behind those events are. And so outside of Sunday morning is really where a lot of our tools kind of grow. And so these other gather events are places where, I said before, where people maybe come and they can feel a little more comfortable than if you're inviting them to church. And so I wanted to read a couple of things before I move into that section. That a lot of what Raymond's talked about and a lot of what I'll talk about, it really comes from a heart of selflessness. It's going to ask you to put others before yourself and to put the Lord before yourself. And so there's a few verses of scripture I want to read. And really, there's so much scripture that I could apply to a bunch of these things, and Raymond's could too. A lot of it, though, if we need to convince you that evangelism is an important thing, maybe there's other classes we should step back and go to first. And so I don't want to waste your time reading all of that scripture, but there's a few just about selflessness I want to read and just say that the Lord has gifted each of us, and He wants us to use those gifts for other people. And just when you do find a place to serve that fits well, that matches your gifts well, it's something that is exciting and encouraging, it's energizing, and it's not draining all the time. And so I think when you start to find your fit with your gifts in the Lord, it really starts to click and make sense and allows you to go and be selfless for people in those ways. And so the first scripture I'm going to read is from Galatians, and it's actually the Message translation. The rest of them are Holman Christian, but this one is from the Message. Galatians 5:13 says, "It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence: love others as you love yourself." And so the part where it says that's how freedom grows, that's how we bring more people into the freedom that we've received in Christ. And then the next two verses of scripture, Philippians 2, 3 through 4, says, "Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important than yourselves. Everyone should look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interest of others." And the last one, Luke 10:27 says, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And so those verses in and of themselves don't necessarily speak to gather and what we're talking about, but I think that they are the motivation for why you continue to give yourself to things like this, to church in general, but also to gather events, that a lot of times I think we can miss the point of and feel that they don't have as much weight as a grow event or a give event. But just recognizing really the power that can come from gather and the opportunity that's there every time we meet together. It's kind of the title of the section. Like, there really is purpose and opportunity when we meet. So looking at these additional gather events, when we're doing things outside of the church, this is your opportunity to invite and include others. And so gather events aren't just for building fellowship within our existing community. It's so we can bring in our coworkers, we can bring in our peers, our siblings, our neighbors, whoever it is that you're trying to reach out to. Use these gather events that are real soft introductions into the church as a way to build relationships with people. And when they start to be more comfortable with you and with your friends and recognize how normal you actually are for the most part, hopefully they start to feel more comfortable with your community, and maybe eventually they're willing to make those steps to come and attend your life Bible study with you or go to church with you on Sunday morning. Or maybe their next step is from a gather event to a home Bible study where they're used to your home already. They're used to some of those people that are coming to your home, but for the first time they're going to be sitting and discussing the Word with you, as opposed to something a little more simple, whether that's, you know, watching the Super Bowl like coming up or whatever your gather events may be. And then recognizing that the gather events are touch points and they're opportunities to truly change someone's life. And so, again, it's not just about having fun with them or with your friends, but that gather event may be the thing that alters the course of this person's life forever. If they start building relationships with you, if they open up their heart or their mind to allowing you to include them in more things, this could be it for them. And so view it that way, and just, again, recognize that purpose in a gather event. When you are part of planning a gather event, make sure that it's well organized and thought out. You don't want to get someone there for the first time and have it be a disaster. Some of the things that I wrote after that are, think about the parking, how much it costs, how much space there is when you get there. And so if you are going to do a lunch at a restaurant, or if you're going to have an event, and they get there and there's parking for 20 and you've invited 60, or there's parking for 5 and you've invited 15, you know, what have you done to that person? They drove there, and they're from the park, and you've started out with stress, and they get to the door, and your event costs $50, and they thought it was free or $10, and then it's broken up to where only 6 people can do this event at a time, and their opportunity then to make a connection is reduced to 6 people instead of your group of 50 or 60 or however big or small it is. Think those things through, and don't just think, I like to eat here and we're going to go here, or I think that activity is fun, so we're going to try to do it. You have to think about what you're wanting to accomplish with that event, and it's always more than fun. It's always you want those people to have a chance to build a relationship, to make a connection that brings them back for something else, for the next thing, to where eventually it's getting them in a seat in church where they're hearing the gospel. And so it's easy, I think, to let details figure themselves out. And sometimes there's a time and a place for that. But for the most part, when you're having people come in such large numbers, do some due diligence and do everything you can to make that just an easy experience for them. I said most of this already, but connections are key. And so just making sure it's an atmosphere where conversations get to happen. And so going to a movie is a really fun thing, but you're sitting in a row however many people long, and there's not a lot of talking that happens in a movie. And so really, I would say there's not a lot of purpose in that. Maybe if you've tacked dinner on before or after or something, or movie is an event at the end of the day, but thinking through those gather events and what you're trying to achieve and what aids you in that and what really doesn't. And then the last thing on there is utilizing the events that the church gives us. And so every year there are lots of big things the church does. And again, depending on your life stage, those look different. But, you know, at Halloween we have First Fest. At Easter they have an event for you where you can either serve and just go be a part of inviting, including people to do that with you. Or if you have a family, taking your kids, inviting their kids to those things. You know, it's Summit, so the ministry, the branch of ministry that I'm involved in here has its own set of events for us, New Year's Eve and a couple of other big things that they do, retreats that they do, where those are opportunities to invite and include our friends outside of Summit to those. And so there are lots of other church-wide things that we do, and they have those gather events as opportunities for us to build bridges to our communities. In addition to those, I would say, you know, Our Life Bible Study does 2 or 3 large events on its own. And so maybe for your life stage that's a bit much, but, you know, maybe 1 class event where you're doing a big thing, whether that's a weekend getaway or you know, I don't know what they may look like for your life Bible study, but we do. I'll give you some examples of ours. Again, in Summit, we have a class retreat. Every year we do a float trip where we go to New Braunfels and we float the river. And that we see our attendance jump every year after that trip. And so we stay the night there, we have dinner, we float the river, and we come back, and we're here for church on Sunday morning. Directly after that experience on Saturday, we all go to church on Sunday. And so there's incentive for them to come and continue the weekend with us into our Sunday morning, into our worship experience. I think there's probably something that can translate or really speak to the people that you're targeting in your life Bible study in that area. So then the next point is always be pointing to what's next. And so when they're in your classroom, when they're at this event with you and they've had fun, let them know their next opportunity to come and hang out with you or to experience genuine fellowship with you. And so if church is the next thing, I don't think you have to be shy about that. You can invite them to church, always do, and they may decline several times, but letting them know when you meet on Sunday morning, where you meet on Sunday morning, but then the other things that you do as Life Bible Study are really good tools. And so if you're a part of a home team or a home group, a home Life Bible Study, I really think that's a really good next step. If you've got them to gather events, I would encourage you. And if you're not a part of one, have people in your home for that reason when you can. And maybe it's not once a month or once a week or consistent, but you can have an event like that where there's a purpose in it, and it's maybe their first exposure to a Bible study, to discussing the Word. But giving them something to look forward to. And so if, going back to our Sunday morning experience, if it's Sunday morning that they've come to and they take an initiative to get there on their own, and maybe they weren't brought with someone, they don't have a friend yet, give them a gather event to go to. Because on Sunday morning, we do our best to have some table talk, we do our best to make them feel welcome and included, but they're not going to really get a chance to get to know you, because for the most part, they're listening. They're doing other things, and so some great things that I think you can do is a lunch on Sunday. We do a class lunch in Summit. We don't have families that we're going to meet with. But if you and your family go to lunch and there's a new couple, there's a new family in town, invite them to dine with y'all on a Sunday once. And so that same day, there's a day of connection where you've got them there on Sunday morning, or they've walked in whether you did it or not, and helping them just build more of a relationship, to feel welcome. And so those day of connections are super important. I mean, if they're not the day of, it's just the next thing y'all are doing as a class. And so, like, we have some small events, you know, every month, and then, you know, hopefully a bigger thing to look forward to for them to put on their calendar and know that that's maybe their next chance to come and get to know these people. And then one of the things that I think is key in that is making them feel that they're wanted and included. And so it's you know, it's more than just having it written on the board and on the calendar. But as your leadership, you're talking about it, you're letting them know when it is, you're making it easy for them to remember and recall. And then hopefully as a member, you're having conversations with them about that. And I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. I'm going to talk about it in section 3. But that personal invite that you have the power to give is something that can't be underestimated. And so, again, the leader of your life Bible study, the teacher, may be encouraging an event to happen, but if y'all all get out of class and you go sit in your usual seat in church and you leave and you go to lunch by yourself, and they never got invited, or they never really felt like the class was all going to go do that event together, or you really wanted them to come and participate in that event, they're probably not going to take another initiative and go, you know, be vulnerable, really is what it is. If you've been in the same Life Bible Study for months or years, I'd really encourage you to maybe just go try another Life Bible Study's lunch, or go visit a Sunday school class that's not yours one Sunday, and remember and recall how intimidating that is, because it is easy to forget once you have your friends and you found them what it's like when you don't. And Houston is really just a revolving door for not just for young singles, but, you know, the industries that drive our economy. There are people coming in out of Houston all the time. And so no matter what life stage we're in, there are people that are new to this city that are looking for ways to get connected and plugged in. And I really think if you're in a suburb, if you're out in Cyprus, or, you know, if you live outside of the Loop or the Beltway, those people are even at a greater disadvantage. They're not in an apartment complex, probably. They're not somewhere where they're bumping into any neighbors. They're going into their driveway and their garage, and they're shutting the door. And so it really takes some effort on your part to reach out to them and to let them know that you're a part of a church community, that they're welcome at, that they can come be a part of. So I'm going to go ahead and move into the your presence is necessary part. And I think this, above all the others, is where that selflessness comes in. I think it can be really easy to start feeling tired with all the things that are available to do. Ramus mentioned this, at our church, you can be a part of mid-link Bible study classes on Wednesday nights. You can be serving on Sunday morning. You can be here on Sunday morning. If you're doing a home Bible study on Tuesday and Thursday, whenever that is, if you're a deacon and you have deacon's meetings, however often they are, once a month, all of those things start to fill up your schedule. And it becomes easy to start saying that you're tired or that you don't want to give more time and energy to that and you'd rather have, some me time. And that is, you need the me time, that's important. But just, keep yourself in check for how often that's happening. And every night of the week you can't give to me time. Because that's not a selfless life. And so I really do think some of this is where you're going to have to power through and recognize that our life and our gifts are not for us. They're for others. And so the things that I want to say, number one is be committed. And so if you are a part of Life Bible Study, if you're leading a Life Bible Study, and you're asking people to come and do those events, you don't have to be at everything. And there's always really good excuses for you not to be at things sometimes. But for the most part, you want to be a committed member of your Sunday school class, of your group, and be at those events when you're asking others to be there. And so sometimes it just looks like I would rather go home and eat my leftovers from last night on Sunday morning, but I'm going to go have a meal with my peers after church on Sunday because I think it's important to give them an opportunity to get to know me, for me to get to know them, and to just build fellowship with those people. And then recognize that you could be the connection point that makes a difference there. And so it's easy to pass that off to someone else in our Life Bible Study, someone else in our community. But it may be you that they find something in common with. It may be you that is the one that just happens to be sitting next to them. But I think when you really start to think that way, that these are opportunities to change someone's life and you could be the catalyst for it, it begins to give you that motivation to be there, to be committed. And then don't underestimate the power of group mentality. And so if you're a part of a bigger group and the group starts to not show up, if you are having a Bible study on Thursday nights and a guest comes and there's a handful of people there, when they saw a much larger group on Sunday morning and they start to think that this isn't something you value as a community or it's something that, the people in the know are at or whatever it is, they're probably not going to keep coming back to that, to go be in a group of that they feel is, I don't want to say small, because sometimes 4 or 5 is what it needs to be, but if it's something that they feel is not valued. So just when you can be at those things, be at them, because when you're all in, it gets them. Sometimes people will go just because they feel like you're all going to be there. And so it's because they're looking for friends, or it's because they feel peer pressure. But hopefully, in that peer pressure, they go and they meet the Lord. And so if peer pressure gets them to know Jesus, let's peer pressure some people. So the last thing on that, under selflessness, is that it requires a lot. And so your time, your schedule, I already talked about. It will eat into your schedule. Your schedule a lot of times won't be what your secular self might want it to be. Sometimes it's going to eat into your money. Like I said, you may have leftovers that you should go eat, but instead, if it's a responsible choice you can make, you may go eat out on a Sunday with those people, or you may, you may offer to drive and pay for the gas to go do something because other people don't want to drive or be there, or driving is what gets them there in the first place. It takes your energy and maybe a lack of sleep at times to be at some of these events, or to help plan and put on these events, or to host in your home when the last person there is there later than you would have wished, but hopefully that conversation was meaningful with them. And, I think sometimes it may even cost you in your friendships, and I don't mean that it takes away friendships necessarily, but that it can be easy for us to find our group that we feel comfortable with, or you know, maybe we've had them for a long time and we stick with them. But Don likes to say this a lot, the we for and no more mentality is not something that belongs in the church. And so sometimes, especially in Summit, but I know in other places too, it can feel like a revolving door a little bit. There's constantly new people coming in, and we can't turn our back to those new people because we have 50 friends already. And so your groups have to break up, they have to get smaller sometimes, and you have to be willing to let those people in. And so if you've been in the church for longer, for 30 years or 20, you know, however long you've been a member at the church, I think it probably gets harder to keep inviting people into your life. And it can be exhausting and maybe even hurtful to watch them leave at times, or to loosen up on some friendships to make room for others. But that's a part of selflessness, I think, and opening up some room in your life for new people is something that I don't think it's going to change. You know, I think that's something we're in for the long run here if we're following after Jesus. And so just again recognizing that and keeping that mentality and maybe praying through letting that go, it can be hard for sure. So that's really what I had to share and talk about. We have a few minutes if there's questions or comments. I don't know if you have a follow-up there, but
sorry guys, I don't.
Hopefully that's thought-provoking in some ways, or just gives you some ideas. You know, one of the things I think it's good that I would like to brainstorm as a group, why there's so many people in here, are different types of gather events. So we hit really hard on the sports. We could probably leave those off the table. And meals, I think, are probably pretty well covered. But, you know, outside of those things, what are some events or things that we can plan or do or host that's an easy transition to get someone from maybe not quite in the door of the church yet, but into your community where they're starting to know some of your friends?
Game night.
In your home. Yeah.
You said meals, but different from Civics. I feel like that's a little different then.
Yeah, and so Summit does a thing where we, you know, how we're often once a month, every other month, we will, within our Life Bible study, we'll do a dinner for six where we set up six members to go. We tell them where to go eat. We all meet at the church together, see each other. We tell them where to go eat, and then those six people just get to know each other at a meal, and maybe we'll all go get dessert somewhere afterwards so you get a chance to see the big group again. But that's a really good tool for mixing older members with newer visitors or newer members, newer guests. So you, as the person that's maybe planning that, can see that. You know how long they've been a part of your class. There's tools that our church offers, arena and things that help you do those things well. And so just being intentional about who's at that table is a really good thing.
In a totally different life stage, but yeah. We are MYA, so it's young adults, married adults, but we have a hard time creating events because everybody has little kids. And so it's either you have to go somewhere public that's appropriate for kids, but then everybody's just like watching their kids and nobody can really have much conversation, or you have to have just the guys go or just the
girls go.
So that's been a struggle. But so we really don't have a lot of whole class invitings, and I think that just may be okay for our season of life right now. But I don't know if there's other ideas to say. But then we do try to do things that are just women and just are men focused. And so, like, for women, I try to do things, and we do, like, mom's groups. But it's a great way to also invite other ladies. So we encourage our ladies to invite moms maybe in the neighborhood or that they may know through other organizations or groups that they're in to come and bring their kids. And it can be as simple as just, like, going to Chick-fil-A for lunch or meeting here at the church so the kids can play and make the playgrounds and stuff. So, again, that's a totally different perspective than volleyball at Memorial Park.
Yeah.
But that's something that's really, really worked for us. And I don't know, I could be wrong about that season in life not being appropriate for large group meetings, but we've done it, like, at people's houses and things, and it's just too much. Like, there's just kids everywhere. And it's nobody's fault, but I just don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the example of, like, the playground is a great one, where that's something that you're already doing probably and a lot of the other moms are already doing, but y'all go do it together, and maybe there's a neighbor or a friend that's not a believer that's there, and just the conversations that happen there, that, you know, that could be the beginning for them. One of the things that I'll say, I've said this before to married young adult classes, and no one's ever taken me up on it, but Summit, you know, the singles, we have more... Well, I was going to say, well, partner with a Summit class, and you give us one of. We don't have homes in Summit, like, so if you have a home where we can watch half the kids, we'll do it, and then y'all go have an event, and I think that's fun for us, and then we get to build a relationship with y'all on some levels, and so I think there are partnerships that can happen, you know, and probably on the other end of the life stage, maybe there's
And there's resources that we have, like the home. And a yard. So it's probably definitely a great idea. And maybe that's something that, like, Brad and I don't know who y'all are.
Yeah, Don.
Maybe
Brad Talbert. So. Don
Martin. Oh, yeah. So very cool.
But
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Don't be terrified about us watching your kids. We're
responsible. Yeah, I'm 100% honest. That's probably why nobody's
taking
it. I don't know.
I'm going to
do background checks. Every time that you think about what are we trying to get, there's the principles you're trying to say. So is there a place that's, in a sense, there's boundaries because you have my kids. And so the church on the parking, the what do you call it out here, the playground out here is open, so you can play out there. Put the grill on the outside of the playground, have your hamburgers, hot dogs. You watch the kids. It's already marked off.
Yeah.
One of the coolest NYA things I ever saw was here in the Oasis area. They brought their tricycles and brought their big wheels and brought their wagons, and they blocked off that one area that you can get through, escape kid. And so we blocked that off. And then parents also, the dad stood at the escape kid route, and everybody else, and they brought the grill, they put it on. So think out of the box, but oftentimes the simplest things are the best things.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, absolutely. And we have to, a lot of us are new parents, and so we're just still trying to figure that out. So I think that's a great idea, though. And it's hard, and probably for all life stages, but to think about the resources that the church does have, like, I wouldn't have ever really even known that that was a possibility.
I used to scoot through the church with my kids, but that got outlawed. But anyway, there's a way.
The dads are on the scooters by
the
end.
It was wild.
So, but I love that. Thank you.
I was just going to say being intentional about your activities, because we all do things all the time, and just the simple act of, hey, I got to go grocery shopping. Oh, you got to go grocery shopping too. And just having that intentionality and building those relationships, it's huge. I have guy here that he didn't know anybody, I didn't know anybody, and so we would hang out, and he's like, what are you doing tonight? I was like, I gotta go, like, get my tires changed. He's like, I gotta get my oil changed, let's drop our cars off and walk down to the donut shop. And so we had to build a relationship like that. And then somebody else is like, you guys are always hanging out, what are y'all doing? Well, we're gonna go, like, catch Pokemon. So you're always doing something, and just seizing that time to build relationships, and it can be draining. I'm an extrovert, so it's never draining for me, but just being intentional with that time. You never know just who's having a bad day, and just having that fellowship, you know, just getting their mind off of something else, and just as your group builds, that somebody else had a great experience with you, so they invite their friend to come hang out with you. And it's just those little things, being intentional.
Last one.
Kind of piggybacking off with that, some of us, we live over in Katy, where we're in the same study, but we carpool to different events. So we all have that fellowship carpooling and meeting up at a certain place and carpooling to events. So have that event, like fellowship, and we found other people who do live in the area that we know that we've brought to events because they've lived in our area, because we do live so far away, and we've brought each other to these events and rotate. So it's kind of
how we drive alone. Never drive alone, never eat alone, always have someone I think who can I take with me, who can I be with, sure.
Okay, so I think we're going to wrap it up. One thing I just want to hit on this last thing, Ramus said it in his speech, but he was coming, he said he was coming for friends and not the gospel. And so I think that really that's the mentality when we have a gather event. We're there to be people's friends, but the gospel may infiltrate them in the midst of all of that. And so it's not just for friends, it's not just for friends, but really life can change through gather events. And he is an excellent testimony to that. And now, like, he is an ambassador of more than a lot of us, I think, out there, like, trying to bring more people in to the community. And so if John, was that his name, the guy at the volleyball? If, you know, if he hadn't taken the time to have that conversation and prolong that conversation, how different it would have been.
Sure.
So.
Okay. Wait, we have a
Prize?
Yeah. We need to ask a question. All my answers are written on this piece of paper. So.
What's your birthday? What month and?
Mine?
Yes. And then whoever's closest to your birthday.
they want me to say the month?
Just the month and,
say the whole thing.
Just the month and then afterwards.
Okay.
September.
Who's September?
So stand up if you're September. Oh, yeah.
All right. Now the other day, what's the day for?
Five.
Check the ID.
Yeah, so guys, if y'all slipped in late, there's a sign-in sheet over there on that table, a blue one, if you'll sign in. And I think we're done here. The cinnamon rolls and the final thing is down.